This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. While the battle over Obamacare continues in Washington, Georgians can now sign up for health insurance coverage on online marketplaces called exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. While Georgia's exchange is operated by the federal government, the coverage itself is offered by private companies, the biggest of which is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia, which has built much of its existing business on individual insurance policies. Morgan Kendrick is the president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. He joins us now. Mr. Kendrick, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Some big insurers like UnitedHealthcare and Aetna decided not to take part in the federally run insurance exchange here in Georgia, but you went all in. Why?
We did. You know, I think it's part of our history here in the state of Georgia. I mean, we are Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. We operate within the confines and the boundaries of the state. We have the geographic bounds of the state of Georgia that are our service area. And we believe it's our obligation. And as you indicated, we are the only carrier that's playing in all 16 geographic regions of the state, certainly further, you know, exemplifying our commitment here to the Georgians.
Some opponents might say, well, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because it already had a lot of its existing business with individual policies in addition to group plans with businesses, you're just protecting what you already have. How would you respond to that?
Well, certainly that's certainly always part of the equation. You certainly have a big market share. We're committed to that market share, and we certainly we understand the business is shifting, and we want to be part of that change. I mean, this is a decision that we made seriously here in Georgia as well as the other markets under our WellPoint parent organization.
If you didn't have such a big stake in individual policies, would you be participating? In other words, what do you think of Obamacare as a whole?
You know, I think if we didn't have a big market share, I mean, I can certainly understand a carrier's concerns of taking a more cautious approach to being involved in the exchanges. And again, when you look at the way Cross and Shield companies are formed, as I said earlier, they're geographically bound. So unlike some of the other commercial carriers where they're operating in 50 different geographies, we're operating in one. So therefore, we will certainly want to capitalize on what our opportunities are within our defined markets. So what we think about it is, you know, we certainly believe there's a cost problem with health care. We believe there's certainly a problem with the number of uninsureds. In Georgia, there's a big opportunity. So the fact that, you know, we have big market shares and, you know, not just in the individual segment. That's one segment of our business here in the state. But it's certainly a lively, active segment that we want to continue to work in. The law requires us to behave differently and work differently moving forward. And that's what we've elected to do.
Insurance Commissioner Ralph Hudgens said that two of the five insurance companies that are on the exchange that have said, OK, we'll take part, still expressed concern that they'd have more new members sign on than they can handle. Now, he did not name names, but were you one of those?
No. Commissioner Hudgens and I have not had that conversation.
Were you aware of that?
I wasn't aware that others had indicated that to Commissioner Hudgens, no.
We should note here that we have made repeated requests for an interview with Commissioner Hudgens, and so far he has declined. But now that the exchange is live, how do you think it's going?
You know, I think it's going kind of how we expected it to go. You know, anything this big with this much change at one time is going to have challenges. It's interesting, you know, day one when the exchanges went live, I had individuals come to my office and say at 5:30 that morning they'd gotten on and everything looked good. Subsequently thereafter, people were having all the log jams, if you will, getting in. It's just the traffic volume on the sites to get through to actually certify. You know, I've heard people that have gotten through. I've heard that brokers have sold product on the exchange. So there is activity. But, you know, we were expecting the challenges and the glitches. I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure build out that was required on the carrier side as well as the government side to get ready for the marketplaces.
Have you been able to check to see how Blue Cross Blue Shield at its end of things is handling the traffic?
No, I haven't gotten any specific feedback as to how things are handled on our end. I mean, our sites, you know, we're kind of tracking along with the government to see how things are going at healthcare.gov and also how our information is displayed from a rate perspective, product perspective. Any challenges that are there, we have a command center that's working through all of the issues when they do arise to make sure we have them mitigated quickly.
Are you concerned, though, about the difficulties that consumers have had on the site so far, or is it about what you expected? Is it better or worse than you expected?
You know, I wouldn't say that I expected there to be challenges. You know, we're 3 days in, 2 days in. So, I mean, it's really hard to make a call on, you know, how long does this persist? I mean, again, people have until December 15 to be enrolled for January 1. So it's a six-month enrollment window. So we're very early on. A lot of people are taking a peek to see what it looks like. The success of the exchanges will be, you know, based in my opinion on A, how easy it is to work, and then once people get on the exchange, how they feel about the value that's there for them. So, I mean, I think there's other things that are part of this equation other than just the simplicity in which someone could get on a site and actually enroll.
Have you had a chance to tell even at this early stage whether more people are actually signing up, purchasing coverage than you expected, or fewer, or?
I have not seen any numbers at this point in time.
So it's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell from our perspective.
Has the state's refusal to participate in the exchange or set up its own exchange or even take part in consumer preparation and education made it more difficult for you and for consumers than it really needed to be here in Georgia?
You know, I can't really speak to the consumer side of it. I can say from our perspective it has not. You know, certainly, you know, we have a law. It's a federal law. We have to adhere to it. We certainly, as we indicated earlier, made a conscious decision to participate in this exchange, and we've moved forward accordingly. So, you know, the challenges that we've faced is the law has sort of, you know, unveiled itself, if you will, over the past 3 years, has been kind of about what we expected. I expect it to continue to change as well. I really do. I expect things to kind of morph and pivot as we move along and we see how things are there. I think products will eventually sort of shift as well. Networks might look differently as this progresses. I think this is sort of the beginning of a new, you know, business consumer strategy for the healthcare business, in fact. I mean, you look at the number of uninsureds here in this state, you know, 1.8 million. So there's a big opportunity for people that do not have insurance today, and this is one vehicle by which they could possibly take a look at it. And if they're subsidy eligible, certainly have governmental funds to subsidize those with theirs to allow them to buy something they've not been able to buy in the past.
But there has been a lot of confusion out there among consumers, and there have been very few navigators, the folks who are supposed to help folks one-on-one,
sure,
sign up so far. Could the state have done more to help this whole thing get set up for consumers, whatever they think about it from a policy point of view?
You know, that's hard for me to make a comment on. Could they have done more? I mean, you know,
because you end up taking up that slack though.
Well, we've got telesales, we've got direct marketing, we've got broker distribution channel, which is a big component of it. I understand we've got 4 or 5 navigators licensed so far in the state, which those numbers will eventually, of course, grow, subject to the requirements that they have to meet. But you know, it's hard for me to particularly say what could the state have done differently to make it easier. Certainly, you know, it's hard for me to comment on that, quite honestly. I mean, I wouldn't call it that we've picked up the slack. I mean, the slack that we have is the slack that I would have expected us to have all along. You know, it's our obligation to enroll these members and serve the market as we've always done.
Yeah, you were talking about enrollment, but in terms of preparation, consumer education, in a lot of states, some of the blues have picked up that where state governments have said, you know, we're hands off here. Have you done that?
We've got Making Healthcare Reform Work For You.com is a site that we've put out to give information. I know most of the carriers here in Georgia that I've seen have similar sites that they've put out to educate consumers. And I think in this instance, the carriers who are the ones participating on the exchange, this is another vehicle to get to the market. So they're approaching it similarly as they would with other lines of business that they have. You know, it's incumbent upon us as a carrier to market to the constituents how to enroll, what this might look like, what the products would look like, et cetera. So I don't really view it as a slack taker, if you will, from the state. But, you know, and again, our position is a little bit different than some of the blues in other geographies. You know, there's a very healthy competitive insurance market here in Georgia with lots of competition, where in many markets, you know, there's not as much. And blues do have a different type of role, if you will.
The other big part of this for a state like Georgia is Medicaid expansion.
Sure.
And Georgia has so far said we are not going to expand, but it could, after the first year, decide, okay, we will expand. And there has been some talk kind of around the corridors of the Capitol that it might. Governor Deal has said no. But have you heard anything about whether the state might seriously consider expanding Medicaid after the first year?
I have not. All I've heard is Governor Deal's statements that we are at this point in time not in anything around future. It would be speculation from my perspective, and I've not heard anything at all.
If the state did expand after the first year, how much time would you need to prepare for that?
You know, I think we would be able to pretty quickly kind of shift the strategy that we have today to account for the additional population that would have, you know, additional subsidies to come into the exchanges. So I don't think that would be significant.
Do you have any idea how much lead time you might need?
It'd be hard for me to put a Dennis to make a statement on that right now.
Yeah. Have you run scenarios? I mean, obviously, you're in the insurance business. That's all about preparation.
It is. It is about preparation.
Have you run kind of what would happen if we expand Medicaid?
We have not.
Why not?
We know what the population looks like, what the population would look like. But as far as, you know, at this point in time, we've been, you know, in the camp with the state that, you know, this is not going to expand. Therefore, our attention has been diverted to the population that we know we have and what we know we've got to address initially. There's plenty to address. And therefore, speculation about future expansion has certainly not been top of the list of items to model out.
Given that, though, do you think you'd be able to handle logistically and monetarily an expansion under Medicaid?
If that came to play, we would adjust, and we would adjust the business accordingly to make sure we were handling that appropriately.
No doubt you could do it?
No doubt.
President Obama, of course, has said this would not happen. That's part of the whole fight that's going on in Washington right now. But if Obamacare were reduced somehow or defunded, what happens to your customers and those of all the other carriers who've already signed up?
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, again, the president has been very clear he's not going to do this. However, if it is defunded and it goes away, I mean, you know, the market, again, we expect to be attracting the uninsured market today, which isn't in the insurance pool. There's been an awful lot of work spent getting us to this point. And then, of course, the folks that do shift off of the plans they have to the exchanges, it certainly would be a challenge to sort of begin to unwind that. However, that's certainly not a scenario that I'm anticipating, one where it's unfunded or defunded.
So you're not concerned that if there's some compromise out of Washington that some of the people have already signed up would end up hearing from you and other carriers too, okay, we can't cover you now?
That could be the case. We could continue to cover you. The price would be certainly different. You wouldn't have the federal subsidy that would go along with your own dollars to buy the products that you thought. So there would be a different decision that those individuals would have to make. One would conclude it would be the decision that they're making today, which is to be uninsured.
There's a lot of political pressure all around this too. Did Blue Cross Blue Shield right here in Georgia, which is certainly a state where the statewide elected officials are all Republicans.
Sure.
Did you get a lot of pressure to not take part in this in order to make it more difficult for the president to make his case?
No, we did not. We did not. We did not get any pressure at all to not participate in this.
Because the Blues around the country certainly have been the companies that have been most involved uniformly with the exchanges.
Well, if you think about it, too, to your point earlier, I mean, the Blues presently cover 100 million Americans. So 1 in 3 are covered by Cross and Shield plans, and they've been in business, most of them, 75 years or more, and operate, as you indicated earlier as well, heavily in the individual and small group business, which is directly what this law is affecting. So therefore, their seat at the table and their breadth and scope in the geographies, it's not surprising to me at all that the Blues are at the forefront of this, where the commercial competitors just simply aren't as deep in each of the geographies as you would see a Blue plan.
Because certainly somebody who is an opponent might be tempted to say, hey, look, we want to make the case that this isn't working, and one way to make the case that it isn't working is to have fewer providers sign up for it.
Sure.
And you haven't heard from anybody who said, look, you know,
nobody has
why
contacted
don't you just
me.
Stay out of this?
Nobody has contacted me and said that at all.